Dracula. Like,
you know what? Never even mind a buck. We lose a few games. We go on a losing streak, and now the team is in shambles, apparently. And, you know, fire up all the armchair GMs and let's propose a deal for anybody, ranging from DeMarcus Cousins to Yusuf Nurkic to any big man that can apparently fix any issue we have. And Millsap is apparently, you know, not that great either anymore. So on to Ibaka, who would actually be a good fit. But if you're the Magic, why would they just, you know, part ways with them right away? The thing that drives me nuts recently is that, you know, I know they're losing, but put yourself in the other team's shoes for a second. If you're them, why would you make that deal? Nobody ever considers that. They just think, well, you know what? The Raptors need it, so we're going to make it happen.
Whoa.
That's not how it works.
What's the trade deal that you're talking about? You haven't really described it.
There's actually, man, I know you've been wrong, like, go on Reddit, Real GM forums, all the most ridiculous places, Twitter, and there's so many different deals to sort through right now. Like, sure, the Magic need wing help, but would you really do Terrence Ross and a first-round pick for Serge Ibaka if you're them? I get the salaries are pretty even, and it could work, but would you do that if you were them?
Nah, man, because, you know, Mario Hezonja is supposed to be the way of the future for them, and they're, for some reason, trying to get Aaron Gordon at the three to work. But I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense for them, really, but, you know, we're Raptors fans.
Hold on. I feel like that's pretty logical. Like, that's pretty, you know, self-explanatory. But apparently it's not. Because, like, I get the Magic don't know what they're doing right now. You can see that. But goddamn, man. Just to assume that they're just going to take on Terrence Ross in a first-round pick for Ibaka, who they gave up a boatload to get. Like, why?
I don't know. The team has been making, like, illogical steps, you know, so far, like, trading pretty much everybody that was on that squad, like Tobias Harris. I don't know. It just seems like people are willing to think that, you know, they're able to manipulate that team.
Yeah, and I get that they don't want to give up on Elfrid Payton, you know. I mean, sure, maybe he's not like a bona fide starting point guard, but he's still so young they could at least figure it out. So there's issues there, obviously. But if you're the Raptors...
You think Elfrid Payton's good?
I think he's okay. But I think he's still so young that you have to decide and see what you have with him, right? You can't just write him off.
I don't know, man. He's one of those players that seem like, you know, he's an island player. You know, you have Waiters Island.
Yeah, I think he's destined to be like a second unit guy, but you got to find out.
I guess so. I don't know. With that hair? With that hair? I don't know if I can
He's kind of like Corey Joseph. He's just destined to be a second unit guy. That dude has fallen off a cliff.
Tell me what's happening with Corey Joseph, man. He just seems
Man, I was going to ask you, because I have no idea. I'm looking at all his stats, watching tape over and over, and I'm like, what the hell happened? Maybe he's been asked to take on more of an offensive role, and that's what's kind of hindering him, I guess? But I don't know.
It looks
at this
like,
point, I don't know.
Right now, he just looks worse. You know, like, he's just doing all the same things, just worse. Like, his defending isn't as good. His ability to get to the basket isn't as good. His three-point shooting is... I wouldn't say non-existent, but it's worse than it was last year. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him, man. And there isn't really any sort of trade rumors like surrounding him, so there's no reasons for him to be like down, you know, or like thinking about things in the back of his head. It's just not working. And there's definitely offensive answers on the team, even right now with DeMar DeRozan not on the squad. Like Norman Powell is still there. You know, he's still contributing to the team, same with Terrence Ross, so I don't know, maybe, I don't know, man, he hasn't said anything, there's no, like, broken finger, like, Damari Carroll, it's just worse right now.
See, I kind of have, like, a little bit of a theory with Kojo, where it's, like, maybe because he's playing more of the two, well, I don't know, they play, like, a hybrid 1-2 when they do Lowry in the reserves,
right?
And he's just struggling to take on those more athletic wing-style players now, as opposed to before where he's taking on your traditional point guard. Mm-hmm. And that's like an ultimate reach at straws to try and figure out what's wrong with him, because his defensive real plus minus is among the bottom six in the NBA, among guards.
Did you just say bottom six?
Dude, he's one of the worst six guards in the NBA right now for DRPM.
Wow.
Isaiah Thomas is obviously the worst, but, I mean, we also saw what he did to the Raptors and what he's been doing all season. I mean, he is Mr. Fourth Quarter at this point. He's been scorching everybody. So you can get away with that kind of stuff when you're him. But when you're Corey Joseph, I mean, dude, it's not so much the offense with him anymore. It's more so that they need him to play defense again, and he's not. And I think DeLon Wright is going to come back and take his minutes, or at least cut into them substantially.
Do you think DeLon Wright's taking his minutes, or do you think when everything is right, when DeMar DeRozan is back and everybody's back from injury, you think Norman Powell is going to be carving into those precious Kojo minutes? I mean, because
so I think.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying. I think he should for sure. Norm Powell should for sure. I mean, we've seen what every game that he started without DeRozan, he's been pretty damn good. So they got to find a role for him, especially because he's, man, how many guys off the bench aside from Terrence Ross can create their own offense? Not many.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Corey Joseph was supposed to be one of those guys, but this year he's proving that he's not really capable of doing that. So it's just Terrence Ross, Norm Powell. That's it.
And why I think DeLon Wright's going to take some of Corey Joseph's minutes, if not a good chunk of them, is for one reason. The Raptors keep getting crushed on the perimeter in any high screen and roll situation. That's kind of like their Achilles heel. And I kind of worry that they're like the team that got swept by the Wizards. I think it was the 09-10 team, I think it was. I got swept by the Wizards. I have to look that up. But They couldn't defend the high pick and roll or anything like that. And when the threes weren't falling, they would just get right out of the gym. And this team is kind of like that right now, where they're the same flaws. But DeLon Wright, 6'6", long arms, very athletic. He can kind of help with that kind of stuff where he can play those. Imagine him and Norman Powell switching on the top there. Or
yeah,
like
that's exactly
hedging guys or like the high wall. They're eliminating passing lanes. They're doing things that the Raptors aren't doing well right now. They have the ability to do that.
Yeah, his switchability at 6'6 is great. He's not frail. He's got a pretty wide body. So he should be good to switch on to like even smaller wings. I think, yeah, you'll probably be able to contribute like a really good defensive kind of like an identity to the defense that the Raptors don't have right now. Just like him being able to switch, him and Norman Powell being able to switch, will give them like more flexibility.
And What's up with that, by the way, though? Like, you nailed it on the head when you said they don't have a defensive identity. And Dwayne Casey's known for that. And usually you take over the personality of your coach, and they've been talking about it a lot, you know, saying how they want to communicate, they want to do things, but they're not doing any of it. What's up with that?
Man, it's just, there's a lot of inconsistencies. Like, sometimes they know, sometimes they'll make switches. Even in the Boston game, sometimes they'll make switches perfectly, you know. Like, Lowry will be stuck on, like, Jerebko, and, like, JV is, like, guarding Isaiah Thomas, but, like, the Celtics will mishandle the ball, and they'll switch, you know, you'll see them, like, doing the pointing thing, and you'll see, like, Lowry jump out. But then there's, like, at, like, the end of the game where you see, like, Isaiah Thomas got a wide open three because they have like three people crowded at the top of the key, and Patrick Patterson is somehow defending the corner and like the arc, like the top of the arc at the same time. Like, he has to defend two people. It's just, they're just not able to, the communication is just not there. Like, the in tune communication that you see with, you know, teams like the Jazz or the Grizzlies or something like that. Or the Warriors, you know, you're just not seeing it.
Even the Sixers recently, when Embiid's on the lineup, the number two defensive rated unit in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like you need to have, like, they don't have a player that is like telling people where to go. That's what those teams have. Like, they have like Draymond Green for the Warriors. The Clippers have DeAndre Jordan. You know, Rudy Gobert is telling everybody where to go. Right, and then on
Marc Gasol,
LeBron, like, there's always a person that tells everybody, you're supposed to be getting that person, you got that person, right? Make sure you double this person. You'll see them, like, you hear DeAndre Jordan yelling, ice, ice, or you, like, or even, like, the Wolves, they have, you know, they have Thibodeau, you know, to yell out ice for defensive assignments. It's just, nobody on the Raptors is known for that, and nobody has stepped up to do that, so they're just continuing to like be hampered on defense and just like leaking points.
That's a really good point, because Kyle Lowry is that guy, but he can't see what's behind him. Where last year Bismack Biyombo obviously was the guy for all that, and I know we always come back to this and harp on it about, you know, they miss Biz, but they really do miss a player like that. Like you're saying, that can communicate. Why can't JV or Bebe develop into that role? Do you think they're just incapable, or?
Bebe is too worried there? About like covering his own assignment to begin with, to even worry about having to tell other people where to go. But seriously, that's like an issue of his, and you know, that's he's only been playing in the NBA for a little bit. Like, he's been relegated to the 905 for the majority of his career, so you can't expect him to be like a defensive dynamo this year. And JV, he's just never been that dude. He's just been super sluggish to begin with. I don't think he's paying much attention on the defensive end, where he's like,
he seems aloof.
Yeah, he's just not. I don't think he's breaking down like other teams' defenses, or sorry, other teams' offenses, trying to figure out what they're doing all the time. He's trying to be concerned with what he's doing on offense. You know, who is he supposed to be doing dribble handoffs for? If this is the time for me to like hit my defender in the post and go for my hooks or whatever.
Or, according to Isaiah Thomas, he's focused about off the court, you know, telling them that they're in a race for second and their Raptors are in a race for first. I don't know if you heard Isaiah Thomas cite that after the game.
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, when you say things like that at the beginning of the season, it comes back to haunt you. And especially when another team, you know, the Celtics have been, like, watching the Raptors basically since the beginning of the season where Jay Crowder is making those comments and then Damari Carroll shoots back. Those are things that just sneak up behind you later in the season. I think we even talked about this last podcast where we're you know, saying that the Celtics and the Raptors could have, like, this small, niggling, like, a defiance between the two teams. Like, we think that it's going to heat up, and it'll continue to heat up every consecutive game, and it's starting to do that. So when you say, you know, we're racing for first and they're racing for second, you know, the Celtics are like, okay, you're racing for first, watch out.
The two teams are very similar in playing style and even personnel to a certain extent. So that's why I find it even more comical.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, the Isaiah Thomas and Kyle Lowry matchup is to look better and better every game. I have a feeling that's going to get even more heated in the playoffs. And this is going to be a playoff matchup. Like, they're probably going to finish 2-3, and then we're going to see them in the second round. It's going to be a battle.
This is going to be the playoff matchup of the Eastern Conference. Like, in my opinion, this will be one of the best series in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, they're kind of different. The cities are kind of nearby each other, you know, Toronto and Boston, but the difference in the crowds and the fan bases are barely, they're vast. So you're going to see, when you're going to Boston.
It's Boston.
Yeah, when you go to Boston, it's just like the crowd is going to be like, they're always this way where they're just really raucous and, like, they seem to not hate the other team, but
they feel like they have a stick up their ass all the time. Like, they have a problem with everybody.
That's just the Boston attitude, you know?
they feel like they're, like, second fiddle to New York City, you know? They're not big enough, but what, we love our athletes too much, you know? We're a sports town, but then they get criticized for being too in love with their athletes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They have that weird inferiority complex going on. But, you know, if the Raptors play them, it's going to be heated, man, and especially in Boston. The crowd is going to be, like, into it all. Every single game, they're going to be into it. And then when they come back to Toronto, there's going to be, like, those people are going to bring up those comments that happened earlier in the season. And now that they've happened again in this season, they're getting it brought up. I'm looking forward to it. You know,
the hype machine will be unreal around that series. And you know what's kind of sad, too, is that no matter how well if let's say Kyle Lowry plays bad, due to things like recency bias, people are going to be like, well, now do you give him a max deal? Is he worth it now? I mean, Isaiah Thomas, you know? That kind of talk will come up no matter what. If he cooks them, then yeah, they'll say max them. But it's just going to be so funny how that one series is going to shape the lexicon of the way we view, like, a Kyle Lowry or this Raptors team for that matter. Right.
But I kind of feel like that's fair. If it's for the max contract, I still want them to re-sign him, but if it's coming down to a max contract and he's shown for multiple years in a row now that he cannot be effective in the playoffs, then you really have to take that into account when you're offering him a contract, especially when he's on the other side of 30. Like, that's a big deal.
Well, I think he's getting a max deal no matter what, just based on the market. Maybe he'll take the DeMar DeRozan deal, you know, 95% of the max, 90%. But I think he's still getting somewhere close to it. Would that not be fair to say, based on everything?
Everything so far, plus the culture, helping the culture move forward. Toronto's actually, like, a legit team now. People like the Raptors. The Raptors are a force in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, he's worth it, man. He's worth it. And this is probably just, like, a stepping stone, a couple of players for the Raptors. You know, the team is relatively young, born in the 90s. The Raptors are a 90s kid. And
90s are dangerous, says The Weeknd.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so just having these two, you know, very good players on the squad and having, you know, an identity behind it and the We the North thing, it's worth it to sign them. But if it's coming down to max contracts and we can't make the playoffs, you know, you got to weigh your long-term benefits against the short-term benefits.
Now you have, like, there's so many questions I want to ask now. Mm-hmm. Where to start? Okay, how do you make this team better in the right now? Obviously, there's a long-term outlook that we just kind of alluded to, but in the right now, how do you make them better? Or can you?
You're trying to finagle that trade for Ibaka or Paul Millsap, and the Hawks are not making that trade for Paul Millsap now, because they're, if you look at the standings, the Hawks
they're
are
right
one,
there.
Yeah, they're one game behind the Raptors. Right, and the Wizards are half a game behind, so that trade's not happening. So you gotta, you know, you gotta call up Orlando, see what they're looking for Ibaka, and then you gotta really, really like look at the team and see if it's worth it to make the trade. First of all, if it's worth it to make the trade, and then second of all, is like, can I afford to move these pieces, and will we get better? So it's the Ibaka trade, basically. There's nobody else, unless you're thinking about Wilson Chandler.
I love Wilson Chandler, but I don't think Denver's going to want to part ways with him.
No, he's recently, I think it was Sam Amick that reported that he wanted out of Denver.
I know he wants out of Denver, today. But if you're Denver, you're what? You're tied for 8th seed, I think, in the West? Or they're a game back? They're really close. Playoff revenues, it's big.
Yeah, but they're just going to get shellacked by the Warriors. Like, they're going to have 2 games at home and then just, like, get turned into dust. Is that worth it, really?
Well, I'm not disagreeing, but you look at a team like the Kings. We know they're not close, but they want that playoff game because revenue and to show off that new arena, and you know, I think it's important to show they're going the right direction, but we all know it's a mirage.
For the Kings, it's a big deal because they haven't been in the playoffs since, like, the Chris Webber Kings. Right? For the Nuggets, they've been in the playoffs, what was it, 2012, 2013?
Yeah, it was recent.
With that Iguodala, like, collection of, like, really, really good players, but nobody was great, and we all play like team basketball and we play fast team.
Well, I mean, if you look at their starting five too, since Jokic has been going off recently, they're actually the second most efficient offense in the NBA recently with Jokic going off, mm-hmm. and they're only behind the Warriors. So,
yeah, so
that's something good too.
Yeah, so but Wilson Chandler still wants that trade, you know, and he's still, you know, he's an effective piece for that team. I think he was like averaging around 15, 16 points. He's the last time he started for part of the reason why he wants out of Denver is because the last time he started for them was in early January. I think it was like the 12th against the Pacers, and he scored like 22 points and like 5 rebounds, 5 assists and like 2 steals. And he hasn't started since that game.
So here's my issue. Do we not have a Wilson Chandler type player and his name's Norman Powell?
Yeah, but Wilson Chandler is 6'9". That's seriously the main difference, is that Wilson Chandler is 6'9". If Norman Powell was 6'9", we wouldn't even be having a conversation right now. In fact, Norman Powell would probably be the starting small forward on this squad and the Raptors.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right? So it's just like that. The height difference is the only thing that's preventing Norman Powell from being the small forward. So you got to look elsewhere. There's no in-house. The Raptors have been trying to look in-house to solve their problems for like the 2 forward position. It's not happening.
Forever since Chris Bosh left.
Yeah, exactly. Since Chris Bosh left, and like Patrick Patterson is like, he was a throw-in in that Kings trade, right?
And now he's one of our featured pieces,
right? So it's not like they were ever actively like looking outside of the Raptors organization for a power forward. It just so happened.
Okay, here's another theory I've been kicking around. Then I've been thinking about this one. Is everybody's talking about how the Raptors need to upgrade at center, power forward, you know, somewhere in the front court to make themselves like actually have a reliable big man they can use. But why not just load up on skilled wing guys that can actually switch, defend the perimeter? We know the league is going more perimeter based, because the reason why I say this is you look at Boston, they're not very strong inside. You look at Cleveland, are you really scared of Kevin Love inside? No. You know Tristan Thompson is going to be a beast down low, but you can kind of gang rebound against them. So I'm looking at the landscape of the East here, and I'm thinking, you know, all these perimeter players, why not load up and try and defend against them?
Okay, I understand where you're going with that. This is a viable idea, especially when you're playing against like the Wizards, where their best big man is Gortat, and Yamihimi's injured. So,
Markieff Morris is like, he's up there, but he fits that swing category in my opinion.
Yeah, he's like a 3-4, and Patrick Patterson is definitely more than capable. Like, I would trust Patrick Patterson.
Oh yeah,
defending right. So, yeah, it's viable. I don't know if it's viable against the West, where you have like actual teams with big, especially like the Warriors and Spurs, where they have legit. I mean, the Warriors, technically, if you want to count Durant as a big man, because he does play like that power forward center position in the lineup of death. But
the Warriors are killing us, no matter who we get.
Yeah, the Warriors and like the Spurs, because the Spurs actually play 2 bigs this year, and I think even the Rockets and the Clippers, the Jazz. If you're playing in the West, you cannot. You basically can't. But since we're playing in the East, it makes sense. I understand where you're going with it.
That's the only thing I'm trying to wonder is it's so hard to acquire a big man right now, right? Especially a guy that you can actually plug and play right away. There's only two names, and we keep talking about them. Millsap, Ibaka. That's it. If somebody wants to point somebody else out, be my guest. Don't even waste my time with DeMarcus Cousins. Don't even waste my time. No, seriously. This is not 2K. This is not fancy basketball. It's not happening. Then I might as well say Marc Gasol because, he'd be a perfect fit for us too. But it's not happening. That's the thing is I'm looking at the market and teams that are out of it and what's available on them, and it's wing players.
That's true, man. Well, you're going to have to rely on Damari Carroll playing up a position if you're going to do that wing player thing. And since he hurt his finger, I don't know if you can really – like his three-point shooting is like shooting in general. His play, his entirety of his play is suffering by this finger injury.
It's bad. right now, it's bad. There's no other way around it.
So you're gonna have to rely on him to be the power forward in a lot of the time instead of him being subbed out. So you got to be comfortable with that. You comfortable with that?
I personally am, because it's better than having a combination of Sullinger Bebe or Bebe JV. Just when you have any combination of those three on the floor right now, they get killed. They just get killed. And they're not producing enough offensively where you can be okay with it, where you say, fine. They get two, we're going to go down, we're just going to keep outscoring them. They're not doing that. So you can't keep deploying the same lineup here where they're going to get ripped. Like, all the credit in the world, Jared Sullinger, for going down the 905, playing in the D League. But, dude, you got to get in shape more. And if you're going to be that big, like, he's just a husky dude, you got to own the glass. And he's not doing that. So until he decides to play like that, the Raptors have to make a decision where are they going to commit the small ball or are they going to continuously get beat like this?
Right. Where do you see his career going from where it is right now?
I don't know. It's weird because he's one of the nicest guys too. So funny side story. One of my buddies that works at Square One, he was in the Holt Renfrew walking around on his break, and Jared Sullinger was in there. And Jared Sullinger, he's like, oh, what are you doing here? Don't you live like downtown? And he's like, oh, no, I'm going to play for the 905. So immediately he texts me saying, Jared Sullinger says he's going to play for the 905. It's what the hell's going on? I'm like, just relax. It's definitely a conditioning thing. I'm like, they can't send him down. He has to agree to go. So just wait and see if it happens. So he's telling me all that. And he said how Jared Sullinger took pictures with all these fans, talking with everybody. Just the nicest guy. So that's why I kind of feel guilty shitting on him at times. But,
that side of Square One is also like barren. Like, nobody ever shows up there. So he must have stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. He said, he's like, I noticed this really tall black guy. And I assumed he was an NBA player because there's never any tall black guys over there. I just started laughing.
But, he hasn't been able to lose the weight. He's in the 905 now. And the Raptors have struggled whenever he's on the court, the Raptors have struggled. So no team was giving him a chance other than the Raptors, and he isn't even getting paid a substantial amount. So I can't conjure an image where he's on a team contributing to a team right now. Is he doesn't shoot the three. His defense is not there.
Well, he does shoot the three. He just doesn't shoot it well.
He doesn't shoot it well.
It's horrific.
He's like basically what Jalen Rose would call it, like a stretch mark four. Basically.
Yeah, and for the love of God, please. I know we said this last podcast too. Stop shooting that goddamn three from the top of the arc. Stop.
Yeah.
Four-year sample size is below 25%. Stop it.
Yeah, it doesn't go in. And yeah, I can't think of is he a center or is he a power forward right now? Like, that's hard to define, and it's bad if your position is hard to define in the NBA. The only way it's good is like if you do so many multiple things that it's hard to define your role, like LeBron, right? But if you don't do enough things well enough that I can't figure out where to play you on the court, that's bad.
Spot on. I think he needs to undergo like kind of a career transformation where if he was smart, in my opinion, he would go look at somebody like – let's just use Tristan Thompson. Obviously, their bodies aren't similar, but – if he could kind of realize that there is a spot for him in the NBA where the whole transition towards small ball and perimeter play, there's still room for a big man out there. You just got to be athletic. You got to be agile. You got to be able to dominate the glass. You don't need to be as offensively driven anymore. You just got to be able to literally dominate the glass and be able to pass the ball out to the perimeter guys. If he could kind of implement that more into his game, I think he could actually carve out a role.
Yeah, but then the difference between him and Tristan Thompson is Tristan Thompson can make that switch out onto the perimeter if he needs to. Right? Like, he's doing all that rebound and stuff, which is great. He's not really a good rim protector, but he has that switchability for the perimeter that, you know, Jared Sollinger just simply does not have. Like, his physical attributes do not allow for that, so.
Well, I think if he lost the weight,
yeah, that might help. That's his thing, you know? That's his entire thing. If he lost the weight, he would be able to do all these things, but he has not been able to lose the weight.
You know, I hate bringing this point up too, but it feels like the whole Anthony Bennett thing where you got to start wondering, if you don't want to lose the weight, how serious are you about basketball?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's true. You know, you made millions of dollars, successful Celtic player for a little bit. Is there, and, like, if you think about it in, like, just, like, a layman's terms, like, if I made millions of dollars, right, I was, like, successful, famous person for a little bit. Now I'm not, but I got millions of dollars, live in Toronto. Sounds like the good, you know, sounds like the good life, right? I mean, if you're a basketball, like, Larry Sanders basically is the same thing. Like, Larry Sanders was, like, a promising big, lived in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not necessarily Toronto, but made millions of dollars. You know, famous person. And then he's just like, I'm done.
You actually stole literally what I was going to say next. Because I was going to get to Larry Sanders. When I was humming and hawing questions, I was going to say if Larry Sanders wasn't such a quitter and he quit, because he flat out quit. I don't care what anybody says, you know, getting busted for weed and then quitting because you have other interests and all that stuff. And now all of a sudden you want to make a comeback. That's fine. Bad side about it. He's a perfect fit for the Raptors.
I mean,
that's the bad side.
He is making a comeback, though.
Yeah, so, and he is a perfect fit for the Raptors.
If you're the Raptors, that's a serious look you need to be taking.
But then it breaks their whole character issue, right? Where they said they put a value on signing guys of high character. Is Larry Sanders high character?
Yeah, but it's like his issue is just like, you know, 420 is like every day for him, right? But yeah. two years from now, 420 might not even 420 might be like a national holiday in Canada if Prime Minister Trudeau has his way. So I don't really know if that's a big deal in Canada.
I don't think it is. I think the fact that he was willing to just walk away from basketball is a big deal. You got to question a guy's attitude with that, how much he loves the game, all those certain questions that you shouldn't have to ask a professional athlete. You got to ask now.
That's true. That's a true concept. I mean, I don't know, man. If he says he's serious about coming back, the only way that you can really test his word is by playing him and seeing if he actually does it. Do you want to take that risk as Toronto? I would say yes. If you want to beat Cleveland, I'd be like, yeah, I got to do this. I mean, he would be, if he could play defense and catch lobs, he's like this. I would play him as the starting center on this team. Like JV would be getting moved to the bench. Like, I think if you're the Raptors, you'd probably be saying that to him. Like, you have an opportunity to be a starting center on a playoff team to maybe beat Cleveland by coming here.
Immediately an impact contributor. Immediately. And would that not be a bad thing, though, if JV can move to the second unit? I feel like because they don't really have an established rotation of the bigs up front, it would help. Like, Larry Sanders would help a lot more than we're giving him credit for.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd have him as the starting center, right? All he does is basically become DeAndre Jordan. I don't know how many teams are going to be offering him a starting role as soon as he comes back. And I think that would be like a huge draw as the Raptors. It's like, we need you. Nobody else is going to give you an opportunity like this. And they're probably not going to be able to pay him as much as he wants. But then again, he is just coming back from like a 2-year hiatus. So how much can you really expect to get paid in your way
back?
It's too
bad. You quit. Like, you quit. Yeah. You can't demand pay anymore. You have no leverage.
Right? So, if I'm Masai Ujiri, and I wish I was because I could be making basketball decisions, I'd be like, you know, I'd be making a call to this agent, man. Like, this would be like a really huge get, and this is how you become like a really good team. Is like, somebody is like on the waiver wire and you pick them up, or somebody like some team doesn't value one of their players, and you're like, I think I have a spot for him on this team. And that's how you become a better team, especially you have to do those weird things when you don't have as much space anymore. And when Kyle Lowry signs that contract, they're not going to have any space at all.
It's a scary thought. It's actually a scary thought. And like, if you're Larry Sanders, though, how interested are you in coming to Toronto? I get the whole starting role thing, but aside from that, are you overly interested in coming here?
It's not that cold. It's not that cold. And
nah, that's a myth.
But there is, like, a, you know, a weird stigma about Toronto in general, especially when, like, that All-Star game where it was, like, actually minus 15 in Toronto. People were like, why are we even here right now? Like, that sucks, but if you can, Drake being the ambassador, even though he never shows up to games anymore, helps, and the fact that the team is good helps, but there will still forever be this weird, like, yeah, it's in Canada, I don't really know anybody that lives there, I'm away from my family, like...
It's obscure.
Yeah, exactly. So that can be an issue for any player. Like, has any big free agent ever signed to the Raptors? No, even though the team is still good.
There's one. Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh my god.
I know, it's ugly. It's so ugly because it was an absolute albatross, but that was big at the time.
Yeah, at the time, but...
You know. It didn't turn out well, but it was big. just rewind back to when we were children. You know? And that was a big deal.
But now the team, like, it's a smarter... Like, it's a new era. It's a smarter team. Like, just fans in general are smarter about the sport. So, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, like, you know, 30-year-old Hakeem Olajuwon, who's, like, really... I don't even know if he was in the twilight. He was, like... The moon has already set on his career. He was just, like, collecting money, basically, in Toronto. I just don't think that's a...
He did us dirty.
Yeah, it's just... But there's never been, like, a serious marquee free agent. Like, LaMarcus Aldridge almost, quotation marks, almost signed in Toronto. But how, you know, how much can you really trust that? I don't know.
If you're Larry Sanders, where's more appealing? Here or Boston? Because Boston's one of the teams that he reportedly visited.
Yeah, I like, you know, if I'm being honest,
I think Boston. I hate saying that because we're supposed to approach Toronto here.
I think it's more of a 50-50, but it, again, if he has that weird stigma about Canada, then it would be Boston. You see what I'm talking about? Like, with the stigma.
Yeah.
Like, if he knows about Toronto, he'd be like, yo, Toronto's a sick city, I'm going to go to Toronto. But if he's like... You know, he's just like, oh, man, I don't want to live in a different country, right? Then it's going to be Boston.
Unfortunately. Yeah. All right. Scrap that idea. Here's one. This is for all my message boards. All the people on the message boards, Reddit, everything, all the fans out there with this one. Just sign Delonte West. Just get in LeBron's head permanently.
Oh.
Just bring him on as the 15th man on the bench. Let him talk shit.
Yeah,
or Lance Stevenson, let him blow in his ear.
Yeah, know? All he does is sit on the bench.
I've seen this stuff out there. This is the worst part, is people like suggest this. Or they'll suggest the Cavs to do it. There's like the Cavs should just go, you know, screw it. Sign Larry Sanders, Josh Smith, Stevenson, Delonte West, you know, load up on the guys like this and just try them all out. Like, there's been a lot of crazy stuff right now. Because the problem was, is you got the Cavs and the Raptors are on full tilt where they can't figure out why they're losing and they keep losing. So the fan base is going nuts. So we're getting all this ridiculous shit out there.
It's hard to avoid it, man. When the Raptors are, what are they? They've lost six of their last eight, or something like something close to that, right? They've only won like two games in the past like 2 weeks, right? So when that happens, people get confused, they get scared, and they want answers, right? And Larry Sanders seems like a plausible answer. Ibaka seems like a plausible answer. You know, it's hard not to panic. Where are you on the panic meter right now for the Raptors?
Scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah. No, 0 to 10. 0 to 10.
0 to 10?
Give me that 0 and be like, yeah, I'm not panicked at all.
I'm about a 6.
At a 6?
5-6.
So 5-6? That's pretty low.
I know. So, I know some fans are on like a 14.
Wait a like, within the morass of the fan base, being at like a 5 is like that's a pretty low number.
I want to see this team at full strength. That's
how come
why.
You're only at a 5? I'm legitimately surprised at this 5. Explain to me your 5.
Okay, what are you at first? Then I'll explain.
I'm at like a 7 right now.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I was not expecting you to be like that high. I thought you'd be like kind of like a 5-6, moderately.
I'm at two. Like a 7 because I'm confused. I'm confused in a. Here's the main reason why I'm at like a 7 is because the difference between the second seed and like the fifth seed is 2 games, right? So if you're basically back into this weird Like, last year, the second seed was, like, a 5-game difference or even more where, you know, the Raptors can afford to lose a few games. And then some things would happen below them in the East. And the East was worse last year. And, yeah, you could just afford to lose a few games. And, you know, like, we're still in the second seed. We'll pick up a few games against, like, Orlando or the 76ers or something like that. This year, that's not, like, they had that cushion. And then they kind of, like, squandered it. And now they're on this, like, this weird, it's not a losing streak, but it's a like a weird sequence of losing games to like weird teams, and there's no cushion at all. So you go on like a 3-game losing streak and you're fifth in the Eastern Conference, and you're looking at having to play Cleveland in the second round.
So the seeding is what worries you.
Yeah.
What about like the actual makeup of the team?
The makeup of the team? And I think they can beat, pretty much anybody except for Cleveland in the East. So it's not like that big of a deal for the makeup. But the seeding is pretty much what they're depending on right now. Because if you just don't want to play Cleveland earlier than you have to, and if they end up playing him in the second round, people are gonna be looking at this team like what happened. You know, like we only lost one player and we regressed to the second round, and the team is like, it looks like it's significantly worse. So it could be an issue. People will be calling for heads.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, you live in the thing is like Toronto has like this culture, like they're New York. I have a feeling it's sort of, it stems from the Leafs. Where, like, the Leafs were, you know, they're amazing, and then they suck. And they've continued to suck for a while now, until they've gotten better this year. But there was, like, this culture was, like, you know, and it's just been alleviated the past couple years. Where every game, it was, like, fire Casey, fire or trade DeMar DeRozan. Why is Terrence Ross even on this team? JV is just not a viable player. So we're just a couple years away from that, and a weird like fifth seed and like struggle to 7 games in the first round, then get like knocked out in like 4 games in the second round, and people will be like, what is going on with this team right now? Is it Casey? They never look at the players first. They always look at the coach first.
Well, I don't know if you've done this yet, but after the last game, after last night's loss to the Celtics, I put on Sports Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. I listen to fans call in about the post-game show and give their analysis. I use that lightly. And there's a whole bunch of fire Casey, trade Damari Carroll, trade Valanciunas. And even to go as far as blow it up.
Yeah.
The panic mode is in for a lot of fans.
Right, and they're the third seed. So imagine in the fifth seed what people are thinking about the Raptors. And that's only two. That's and that's literally... If the Raptors lose 2 games, the Wizards and the Hawks win 2 games. And then the Raptors are in the 5th seed. I just want you to... I want whoever's listening to this to just, like, recognize that reality.
I've recognized that, but I believe in this roster construction, to be quite honest.
Okay,
I feel like they still have enough pieces in place where they can compete, like what you were saying earlier. And I think... I'm not worried about any team in the East... except the Cavs. That's the only team. Boston's going to be a 7-game series, no matter which way we look at it. I'm cool with that. I can live with that. But I just feel like this team has enough pieces in place to be competitive. I'm not saying they can win, because they can't with this roster, but they can be competitive. I still feel like they have to make a move.
For Cleveland, yeah. But if they just want to be like a Eastern Conference Finals or second-round team, then I think they could... probably stay pat. I don't know. We gotta watch Boston and see how well they mesh together in the next couple of weeks versus the Raptors.
Dude, Boston's not done. I can guarantee you they're gunning hard for that Jimmy Butler trade.
They want anybody, and they got that treasure trove to do it with, man.
Oh, we're gonna talk about this stuff in a second. I know this is gonna push the podcast longer, but we gotta talk about the Cavs and the Bulls after this. We have to. It's been irking me all week. With the Raptors, though, too, like why I'm not panicked, aside from roster construction, is that we haven't really seen this team healthy yet. DeLon Wright is going to make a big difference. Sullinger getting back into shape potentially could make a big difference.
No, it won't, obviously, man. It never will.
You don't think so? You don't think so?
It never will, man. I've been down on the Sullinger signing since the signing. right?
Yeah.
I just don't understand what his role is on the team, right? And anytime he's on the floor, the team plays worse. And the only thing that he can do is lose the weight, and he hasn't proven to me or anybody, because that's how he ended up on the Raptors, that he is willing to put in the effort to lose the weight.
If he ain't going to lose the weight, then he's got to throw in some Robert Tractor Trailer film or some Donyell Marshall film and just play like those guys.
Yeah, or like Big Baby Davis or something like that, man.
Yeah, something like that. Like, you can carve out a role. Although Big Baby Davis has some pretty sweet feet. I got to give him that.
Yeah, but, exactly. He had great feet work, man. The feet work.
Man, okay. Even if Sellinger doesn't come back and play well, you still get ripped by 1-5 pick and rolls all day. Mm-hmm. John Wall, Markieff Morris, Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, LeBron, Channing Frye, or LeBron, Kevin Love. Yeah, no, that's a real issue.
Right, but then you
okay, I'm at a hard six. Hard six panic. Hard six.
But yeah, you'll get back DeLon Wright. He'll come back. DeMar DeRozan will come back. So there's potential to stay second. If they're the second or third seed, it doesn't really matter. Like playing the Bulls or the Pacers. I mean, I guess the Raptors may be scared of the Bulls just because they're scared of the Bulls. But
if we lose to the Bulls, holy hell, do we have issues.
If they lose to the Bulls, then that's a serious problem, and then somebody might get fired or traded.
I don't give a rip about the Chicago curse or, you know, how we can't beat the Bulls.
No, that's totally a thing for them. That's totally a thing. For the fan base, that is a thing. I don't know if it's a thing for the team, but for the fan base, there's the specter of the Bulls.
Unless number 23 flies back from Charlotte to suit up for them, I'm not worried.
Yo, number 3 wears number 21 on that squad. What are you talking about?
No, number 23.
Yeah, no, but like Jimmy Butler basically is like...
Yeah, I know he scorches us.
Yeah, so I think people are just scared about that. But playing the difference between the Pacers and the Bulls realistically isn't that big of a difference. So you would probably get some flashbacks of Paul George and DeMar DeRozan where he's shooting like 40% from the floor. But the Raptors are a better squad. So it's not that anomaly. It's not that big of a difference. Second round, they're going to be playing against the same team. So second or third doesn't matter. But if they drop to that fourth, fifth, that's going to suck because they're going to have to play the Wizards. And John Wall is going to kill the Raptors. And if they play against the Hawks, then, you know, it's going to be an easier matchup. But then they're going to have to play Cleveland in the second round.
Yeah, I'm okay playing the Hawks. If Kyle Lowry will destroy Schroeder. Love Schroeder on offense. Horrific defender. Horrific.
Yeah, don't tell him that though, man. He has supreme confidence. So he thinks he's good at everything he does.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Still not a top 10 point guard. And I got to stretch for top 15 because the way Eric Bledsoe's been playing, he's like those kind of guys are surpassing him now. Where before he can make an argument.
Mm-hmm. So. It's Thursday. I'm recording this podcast on Thursday, and Charles Barkley and LeBron James have been in a feud, man. Tell me about the feud. How do you feel about the feud so far? What do you think about, like, Charles Barkley calling out LeBron?
Well, should we just take, like, a TMZ approach here? Whose team are you on? Are you on Team LeBron or Team Charles?
LeBron, mostly because I understand where he's coming from, where he's talking about, like, we constantly need more on our team because they're going to be playing the Warriors. If everything goes to plan, then they're playing the Warriors in the finals, and backup point guard is a big deal for them, and they literally have nobody as backup point guard on their squad right now. Like LeBron is backup point guard, LeBron is backup center, and he's starting small forward, and he's backup power forward on that team.
Okay. So no other team in the league has spent as much money as the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to do everything that LeBron's wanted. LeBron is trying to be the GM there. Think about it. Dellavedova, get the hell out of here.
They realistically, they shouldn't re-sign him because the amount of money he's getting paid by the Bucks is unreasonable to get re-signed for on the Cavs, but that was their backup point guard. And
they're waiting for the Bulls to buy out Rondo, and if that happens, him and the Cavs would be mint.
Oh my god, if they sign Rondo... The Cavs, like, their locker room is going to implode. Like, pretty much any team that Rondo's been a part of, the locker room implodes every time.
That's the dark side of success, though, right? When you're desperate like this. What do you think is really bothering LeBron, though, right now? because there's so many things I could say about this, but I want to know what you think is really bothering him right now.
It's probably a combination of two things, or three things. We're on this inexplicable losing streak where the Cavs have only gone on like losing streaks or spells like this when LeBron was like on his vacation, right? Whenever he's not playing, that's when they'll lose. But this year, he's playing in every single game and he's playing so many minutes and he's doing pretty much everything and they're still losing. So he's like, what the hell is going on? Right? And then they lost Matthew Dellavedova and didn't fill that backup point guard role. So that's like a legit problem.
Wait, they got 14 guys, right? You know, he says that every time too.
Right? And then Charles Barkley's just been on his ass since LeBron has been in the league. So he's just like, man, get the fuck off me. Like, stop talking about me. Just stop. That's what I feel like is happening right now. So it's just a culmination of so many things that have just exploded. It's like when you're in a really crappy relationship where, like, everybody, like, all these, like, small things keep getting to you. And then, like, you know, one day, you know, one day, like, your toothbrush is, like, in the toothbrush station upside down. And you're just like, I can't do this anymore.
I think there's another issue too that people aren't talking about or not talking about enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kevin Durant and the Warriors, and not so much the idea of Durant playing for the Warriors, but how he was able to play for the Warriors. So when all of this CBA negotiations went down, whether they want to admit this or not, LeBron James and all his super friends have a heavy influence in the CBA negotiations from the players union.
Mm-hmm.
They had an option to either let the cap smooth out or explode. The owners, everybody else, you know, they all suggested that we should smooth this out.
Right.
Players wanted to explode. Right. And by doing that, things like this could happen. And I think LeBron just misread the market, and it's killing them now because the Warriors, because they drafted all those guys, you know, the Draymond Greens, the Steph Currys, the Klay Thompsons, they drafted all those guys. So they're able to go add another superstar because those players are on cheap deals.
Right.
Whereas especially LeBron isn't Steph able to Curry. Because they're spending all the time. So I think that's bothering him too, that he kind of misread the market a bit in that sense. Because whether anybody wants to admit this or not, LeBron is extremely calculated with everything he says and does and acts. Like, look at the Charles Barkley rant, for example. How many times do you think he rehearsed that in front of the mirror? Two? Three? Like, dude, that stuff was not off the top of the head. That was all researched and calculated.
Yeah, he even said, like, print that at the end of the statement. So, you know, like, he actually – it wasn't – maybe he's not rehearsing in the mirror, but it's definitely – is like, I'm going to say this and this, and I'm going to say this and this, and I want you – I, like, print that, like – legit print that. I want to see that. I want to see this in print.
It's due for a few days.
Yeah, but for the Warriors thing, like the CBA, you know, the entire players have a union, right? Like CP3 is like, I think he's the president of that. I'm pretty sure he's the president of that union.
Which is one of LeBron's best friends.
Right, so if but there's, you know, every player has like some sort of input into that union. So LeBron could be like, nah, we should smooth it. And everybody's like, hell nah, man. I want money. I want all my money and all this. So, like, they're going to have the ability to overrule him. Even CP3 would want the cap to boom because he's getting his contract is up this season. Right? So,
I don't know. It's just interesting. It was something outside the box that I was thinking about that, you know, I could see definitely pissing LeBron off. There's a lot of things right now that are going to upset him, but I think that's one that people aren't talking about.
I think the ability for Kevin Durant to go to the Warriors upset literally 29 teams and every other player that is not on the Warriors.
Like, I think it pissed LeBron off the most, though, because look at last year. Everything he overcame, you know, winning the title with Cleveland, you know, it's past the one for the land cliche now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got to put a few more together. Like, if he only wins one in Cleveland, is it a success, his return home?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you think so?
I think winning that one in Cleveland, especially beating the Warriors that won 73 games, that's like worth two, maybe even three championships. Because that is like, that's like a story type thing, you know. It's like, yo, remember that 1 year LeBron just carried the Cavs to the championship, right? And maybe not because Kyrie Irving hit that shot, but like, remember that 1 year LeBron went back to Cleveland, promised that he was going to win that championship for Cleveland. Then they won that championship. Yeah, and he did it, beating the 73-9 Warriors with Steph Curry on that squad.
With the block.
Right, and he had that chase down block. Like, that's a story worthy of, like, probably, that's probably going to be in a book. I probably put that in a book.
I don't know, I was just curious about that. Because, you know, Dan Gilbert is definitely look, that guy has an ego the size of Kingdom Come. Like, think about it. He's a guy that makes money, a living actually, off of taking people's houses and preying on their properties. Like, he's an asshole. So you don't think he doesn't have an ego? Like, look when LeBron left the first time, telling him, we're going to win one before LeBron wins one, all that stuff. Right. You know there's definitely some tension there. There's no way that relationship is 100% smooth, especially with LeBron taking shots at him, saying, we got to, you know, basically saying spend more, not be so cheap to only carry 14 players, because most teams that only carry 14 rosters, like this is something Jalen Rose was saying too on ESPN Radio, is that most teams that only carry 14 players, they're cheap. The owner's cheap. I don't think the Cavs are cheap. They would spend a lot of money.
LeBron, I think LeBron would think that maybe he's not cheap, but he's not doing everything he can to make this team better. Like, for example, think about, like, there's a 14th spot open on the roster. Matthew Dellavedova could have been re-signed. They could have, like, maybe, you know, convinced him with some, you know, will you sign with us? We'll take care of you when you get older later on in your career. But LeBron is, like, putting everything he can out on the floor, right? And he's the way he feels is, like, we have an extra roster spot and we're not actively always looking for a point guard or a center or something to come in and help us. And we're, you know, this empty roster spot, like, not, there's not even, like, a chemistry dude there. It's just empty. I'm doing everything. You guys aren't doing anything. Like, he perceives you guys are just, like, waiting. You know, you guys are resting on your laurels because we won the championship. Nobody's really making an effort to repeat or anything like that. So for him, he's just like, I'm doing everything out here, and these guys are just, you know, sitting in their ivory tower doing nothing at all.
Which I can understand, too. Because you got to, they go against a team like the Mavs. Yogi Ferrell on a 10-day contract lit them up.
Oh, my God. Dude, that loss hurts so bad. Like, that loss must be, like, terrible for morale. Because the Mavs are terrible. Yogi Ferrell is not exactly a star player in the NBA. You know?
To put it kindly.
Yeah, to put it kindly. Like, he's not a star player in the NBA. So that must be, like, the morale hit must have been catastrophic. And, yeah, man, LeBron is, I feel LeBron's pain. I understand LeBron's pain. I'm on LeBron's side.
I'm not so quick to jump on his side, to be honest. Like, just because he's gotten everything he's won in Cleveland, man. Like, he didn't like the coach, they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted his guy in, they brought him in.
Right.
They wanted to pay Tristan Thompson, they paid Tristan Thompson.
Right.
They wanted him to trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, even though Andrew Wiggins would have made more sense to keep long-term. They did it.
Right.
Like, everything LeBron has wanted, they've done.
Yeah, and tell me, what he delivered to the land?
Yeah, I know. It's okay, got the one title.
Yeah, but that's what you're trying to do, man. Like, Cleveland hadn't won a championship in any sport for years. Decades, right? So,
well, they're God's coaster, you know. When he puts his drink down, he puts it down on Cleveland. That's
right. So we're trying to win, right? We have LeBron. You know, any team would kill for a LeBron, right? And Cleveland has just the graces of him being born in Cleveland, right? Right. That's the only reason why he even returned to that team, because he was born there, right? So, if I gotta make demands. Because I'm putting in I'm putting in X, Y, Z, Alpha, Omega. I'm putting in, like, literally everything I have that is possible to come from my body. You need to, too. I need you to do that, too. You have to do that. Because
you don't think the Cavs are? I mean, they've done everything he's won and spent every last penny they could.
He doesn't think so.
I kind of agree with Charles Barkley's LeBron, you know, like, obviously questioning how much an athlete wants to compete is a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he comes off like, you know, he just wants things a bit easier because he's worked so hard.
Man, the Warriors have Kevin Durant on the team with Steph Curry. Come on now.
I know. I'm not disagreeing, but that's like the whole reason why I think, too, that it bothers him so much. It's kind of like it all, like, the criticism, one. Yeah. It's a touchy subject with LeBron.
Man, everybody comes down on LeBron like LeBron is like basically.
Dude, he's the whiniest bitch, too, though. He cries about everything.
He's the avatar for, like, what a modern NBA player should be like right now. Like, he makes his own decisions based on him. What's the best decision for me? I'm going to go play in Miami with two of my friends. That's fine. Two other people that happen to be top 10 talents or top 5 talents in the NBA at the time. I'm going to go into one team. We're going to squad up. We're going to get, you know, pretty much like bare bones around us. And we're just going to shine like stars and win back-to-back championships. when the management isn't able to put everything that I need around me, I'm leaving the team. I'm going to go to a better situation for me, right? I'm going to a different team where we're going to win another championship there. That's pretty much exactly what Kevin Durant just did.
I don't have a problem with what KD did. I don't have a problem with what he did at all.
Right, but then people still continue to come down on LeBron. Like, LeBron just, like, you know, like, crucified Christ again. Like, what just happened? Right? Like,
I think it's because he whined so much. That's why.
I don't see
you don't think he could have had that conversation publicly with Dan Gilbert? Just went into ownership and management and everybody and just said, listen, what the hell is going on here? Why can't we spend a little bit? I need some more efforts, more equipment from you guys. I feel like we're doing it. He goes to the media for what? Maybe he's setting up as an excuse. I know people have suggested that hand over fist, but, you know, I mean, there is some plausible reason behind it. If they fall short, this is why.
That's
true. I try to tell you guys midseason.
That's true. And I do think it's going to, like, there's like a supply and demand issue with him making the comments like this, because now it's like, oh, you need a backup point guard. Well, you know, it's going to cost you 3 picks instead of 1. You know, and you're going to give up Tristan Thompson instead of just like Kay Felder or whatever. So it makes it actually does make it harder for the Cavs to make the trade. But he probably thinks that, like, you guys aren't doing anything anyway, so I got to do something to get the wheels to, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, they just went to the thrift shop and picked up Kyle Korver because they got him for nothing.
Yeah, they got him for nothing. So, like, Dan Gilbert is doing stuff, but LeBron doesn't think anybody is doing enough. LeBron is a very demanding player, right? And if you're going to – LeBron, the talent that LeBron has, like, are you just going to deny him what he wants? Like, he's going to leave. Like, he has done this before. He will leave the team if he doesn't think the management group is doing enough. And he will go to a better situation. And if somebody is willing to accommodate what he wants, then that team will prosper. And that's happened every time he's moved.
Maybe he's setting up for his exit.
if he wants to exit, man, he's fulfilled his promise. He can leave now.
Yeah,
like
find the Lakers.
Like, he can actually leave now. Like, last year, when he didn't win the championship, it was harder for him to leave. It's like, well, what happened to all this promise? You know, SI article. What about the commercials? Winning one for the land is like, now he's just like, I did it. So I'm going to, like, I don't know. I'm going to the Raptors.
Lakers.
Or the Lakers. Or I'm going to the Jazz. Or I'm going to, like, the Clippers. Or I'm going to
how the awesome Rockets. Would that be? Go to, like, some obscure franchise?
Yeah, if you, like, it's like, oh,
Gordon. The Bucks.
Yeah, so he's just like, yeah, I did what I said I would do. I'm going to I'm going to go play with John Wall in Washington.
That'd be nasty, but yeah.
So, yeah, man, I understand LeBron. The only thing that's an issue for me is, like, making that issue public, it just makes it harder for the team to make the trade. That's all it does. Right? But other than that, I totally understand where he's coming from, and I understand where he's going.
I think they're going to sign Mario Chalmers, for what it's worth, as, like, a 15th guy.
Yeah, and he was coming off, like, what, an ACL injury, and, like, the Grizzlies have been taking care of him. And I think, like, I don't know if they're, like, financially obligated to do that, but they have been doing that, so... He is coming off, like, a knee injury, so I don't know how impactful he's going to be for that team.
Hey,
it's a body him, at this point. It's either him or Lance Stevenson.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man, wouldn't it?
But the fights on the sidelines?
I don't think...
The first game, Lance Stevenson goes 3-for-13. LeBron is in his grill.
Because
you know those are 13 bad shots.
Right, LeBron has been able to, pretty much any team he's been a part of, if there's been, like, some sort of troublemaker, he's been able to, like, calm them down and bring them in. You know, like, remember when J.R. Smith joined the Cavs and be like, oh, man, J.R. Smith, I don't know. He might be able to bring, and then LeBron was just like, don't worry, man, I wanted J.R. Smith on my team. This guy is awesome, right?
Winning gears all.
Right, and then J.R. Smith all of a sudden is hitting, like, 9 threes in a row and... Like, he's unstoppable from range. So, if they sign Lance Stevenson, I have, you know, I think LeBron, it's been done before. He has turned around head cases before. So, if Lance Stevenson can show the skill, LeBron will show the will, man.
I see where you're going. I see where you're going here. Okay.
Do you like
I could buy into that. But I'm still not like in full support of LeBron's comments.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
He's just coming off as an entitled whiner. And he's just got, what, does he get a Teflon shield now because he's got a title? I don't see how that helps the team. Mm. And I know LeBron doesn't give a shit about that because he is the team in his eyes. But still, man, like, how does that help anybody? They've done everything for you. As you've given them everything, you know, the whole one for the land, I understand that. But you don't get a Teflon shield for that. Mm. They've done everything for this guy.
If you just want to get, like, a perspective on how good LeBron is, like, how much he actually gives to that team, think of the Cavs before LeBron got to the Cavs.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go the dark days when Ricky Davis was trying to get a triple-double off his own net. Like, that's how
far back. No, not even that. Like when he left the first time, what was going
on? Barren Wasteland.
Right. And now, okay, now think of, like, that Miami team after he left. Like, think of all the people that are not even in the league anymore after he left. Like, Shane Battier retired. Ray Allen is gone. Wade is no longer even part of the team.
You can say that about a lot of players, though. A lot of great players in every sport, when they leave, you can't replace those guys. That's why they're one of the greats.
Right, so, you know, he's worth it. He's worth it. I think he's worth it, man. You gotta appease him.
I think he's worth it, too, but at the same time, how's he really helping them? Not so much with the comments, but you gotta bring some other guys in. If he has his pull, you know, shouldn't he be the guy to get Ray Allen out of retirement? Shouldn't he be the guy to help pull guys in? Players want to play great players. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why people are trying to get that free ring on the Warriors. Why aren't they going to the Cavs?
Oh, that's true. All right, man.
All right, we've gone long enough. We could still go with this for a while.
Rondo.
We'll get into that next time.
The Instagram post, man. Oh, my goodness.
Never mind the Instagram post.
Is this high school? Yo, is this like university or high school, or is this like the NBA? Like, I don't understand how we're beefing over Instagram posts and stuff now.
Right? But something I learned too that I heard through Russillo when he was talking about this in his podcast was the beef between Jimmy Butler and Bulls ownership and management. It goes all the way back to Thibodeau days when they said they were going to bench him and play Snell, Tony Snell, over him so he couldn't get a max deal or he couldn't get a big contract.
I heard about this rumor too, but then he like had that statement, I think it was today, where he didn't say yes and he didn't say no. He was just like, I was just focusing on basketball, man. My agent handles all that
stuff. Nah. We know what this was, dude.
That's what he said. That's what he said in his statement. But, like, you know, he didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He's just like, yeah, I'm just playing basketball. But everybody on the outside is like, yeah, this actually happened. And this is why Butler is always like, people say he's a diva, but I think he's just upset.
I think he has a colossal chip on his shoulder in Chicago.
Yeah, and
Thibodeau left too, and Thibodeau was his biggest supporter.
Yeah, so. And then he doesn't really, like, there hasn't been any sort of, like, respect for Hoiberg in the locker room, so.
I don't think Hoiberg's a bad coach. I just think there's just so much bullshit that he inherited that it makes life so difficult.
Yeah, they're supposed to be playing, like, a pace and, like, his play style as a coach is a pace and space, you know, shoot lots
of
threes.
They're not playing that. They look like the Raptors in the fourth quarter. ISO. New, like, Jack City from three.
Who shoots threes on that team, man? Like,
they still try and shoot them. Doesn't mean they're gonna stop. We got Doug McBuckets.
I think they're like last in the league in three point like rate and like last in like percentage like in their making. So just like they don't shoot threes and they don't take them.
Yeah. One final thing with the Bulls too. How many people do you think? Because basically, you know, Wade and Jimmy Butler said to the whole team, "We're better than all you guys," because mm-hmm. everybody else is trash. And Rondo came out and defended basically every other player on the team by saying, "Like, hold on a second, you know, my leaders would do this." No matter how childish it is, and I think Rondo's an idiot. How many guys do you think when he walked into the facility the next day were like, "Yeah, thanks, Rayshon," you know?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, there's probably like factions within that locker room now. Where you have all the young guys on Rajon Rondo's team, and then it's just like probably Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and like Taj Gibson.
That's it. Like Bobby Portis liked Rajon Rondo's post, And then Dwayne Wade passive aggressively liked it the next day, obviously.
Oh my goodness, dude. See, I love it, man. We're back in high school where, like, people, when somebody likes your post, that's a big deal. It's like, yo, man, why'd you like his post, man? I thought we were friends.
Don't be retweeting that garbage. Like,
oh man, I love the NBA. This is one of my favorite parts of the NBA, man. It's just like the drama.
This is like the best barbershop talk.
Yeah, this is why I miss NBA After Dark. Everybody was coming down on it, now it's gone, and like all the gossip is just floating out there when we could have one place. Oh,
I was a big fan of NBA After Dark too.
Juliet Littman, come back to me.
Should we reach out?
Maybe.
All right, man, we'll wrap this up. All right, man. It's actually been pretty long, so I don't know. Lots of good stuff, though. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode of the Tip of the Tower Raptors podcast. As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow Damar on Twitter at Damar J. Grant. Guys, enjoy all the gossip. Enjoy all the trade rumors. Please, no more dumb stuff, Raptors fans, with, you know, these 2K-like trades. Let's fire up the trade machine at the very least. Make the salaries match, for God's sakes, before you really fire up this stuff. Just common sense. That's all.
Oh, man.
Enjoy the game, guys. If they lose to Orlando, my panic level goes to 7. But if they don't, I'm still at 5-6.
All right. Later.
All right. Later.